to Get Real KC with Jen and Eric. Kansas City's consumer-facing real estate podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Get Real KC, where we are overflowing with a passion for all things real estate. I'm Eric Jergensen.
I'm Jen Justice.
And today, in studio again, is Tim Carlson with Five Star Painting. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
And I got to tell everybody, so we in our new format that we're trying out, decide whether we like a little more comfortable seating in these couches and whatnot. There was a technical error. It was definitely user error right here, this user, the guy who's talking right now. And we didn't get it recorded very well. So
we rarely have problems, but thank you so much for being so
willing to come back and run through it again. So
because it was a really great podcast and we did not want to miss it. But if it had been bad, we wouldn't have asked you back.
Makes sense.
But this one's going to be a really great podcast as well. And maybe even a little bit smoother. Not that I don't think we were smooth, but let's talk about painting, right? Because as it turns out, that's what you're an expert in.
Absolutely.
All right. So,
and there was so much more that meets the eye than just a brushstroke.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's start there, because we know that traditionally, dollar for dollar, when people are talking about making improvements to their home and what the return on that investment would be, the NAR publishes studies pretty regularly about what is the highest level of return. Hard to judge sometimes because you don't know the condition of certain things, but year over year, certainly in the top five, usually in the top three, and frequently the number one, is the best ROI is painting your home. And so a lot of people are like, hey, that's something that I think we should do, maybe to prep for a sale or what have you. And then there's a lot of people who are sort of under the misconception that all I need to do is go down to the big box store, buy some paint and a brush, slap it on a wall, and I've got this great ROI. So I want to start with some of the things. We'll get into details, I'm sure, at some point, but what are some of the things that professionals are doing that DIYers aren't? Why is this making sure, some DIYers probably are, but then, there are some people who can successfully sell a house without representation, but they're few and far between. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about what professionals are doing that, and why you should seriously consider hiring one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the biggest thing that you're going to see is, yes, everybody can paint. Not everybody can paint well. And if you're trying to make a home look nice and appealing, that's where a professional is going to come into play. They're going to do better prep. It's going to look neater, cleaner. There's not going to be many mistakes. If there are mistakes, and if they're a good company, they're going to take care of them. So you're going to have nice, crisp, clean lines. Your home's going to look a lot more modern or new. And it's going to look a lot nicer for a buyer or if you're trying to sell. For the seller as well. So.
Or if you're trying to live in it.
Yeah, or live in it.
Your
yes, thank
system
you.
is going to be far better and provide those folks that are living in a home with the longevity of paint that maybe they're not going to get if they just go down to the big box store, as Eric said, and slap a coat of paint on and don't do any prep work. That's probably the one thing.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we dig into that again.
Well, let's start right
so
now.
So much more to
let's talk prep
things than meet the eyes.
Because this is more than a roller or a brush on a wall.
Right. Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, it's just like a mechanic or anything else. The proper tools also make a giant difference. So depending on what you're doing, there's different rollers for different reasons. There's different kinds of paints for different reasons. There's primers for a reason. And a professional company like Five Star Painting is going to make sure we use the right thing in the right space. So that way you get the longest lasting result, and it's going to be the most durable it can be as well.
What besides the right tools, and that I think whenever I think mechanical, like I've got friends in construction, and I'll constantly call them up and say, can you do this? And they're like, dude, that's like 20 minutes worth of work. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, because I don't have that tool.
Absolutely.
So it's a huge thing. But then when we start talking about, and we can start interior, we start talking about interior wall prep and protection from, paint not getting where it's supposed to be. There's a lot of things that could go into that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, on interiors, a big step people don't do as a DIYer is actually sand all the walls. So that's something that we start with. We use a pole sander. We go across every single surface we're going to paint, knocks off all the burrs, also allows the surface to take the paint better. After we sand, we wipe down all the walls. So we get all the dust off, everything like that. Same thing, it's going to adhere better. That's also going to make it so if you're doing a project or something, you're taping the walls for something later, when you pull the tape off, the paint's not going to come with it. So that's a big step in that.
See, and I never knew that, right? I never thought I knew to, you know, patch and sand my patches and stuff, mm-hmm. but never, like, you just run a sander over everything.
Yep. So we just do a light grit sandpaper all the way across everywhere. And it makes a world of difference. So we do the same thing with the trim. On trim, the big thing with that, it gets really gross. I mean, that's where your feet are bumping up against, all the dust is hitting, your hands touch on the doors. So we clean all that, sand that as well. And that way all the oils and stuff kind of come off, and then it's gonna make it last a lot longer that way as well.
And it makes so much sense when you really put your mind to it, just from the simple fact of what happens to your furnace filter.
It's real gross.
And I mean, but that happens in a period of 30, 60, 90 days. What is on your walls? That dust gets on your walls. And like you said, the trim, obviously, it's typically white, or even if it's not white, you know, it's a wood color, but it's much more noticeable because that stuff falls down. And, you know, that's something I do like once a quarter, is try and either myself clean or have my cleaning people do the trim and just clean it off. But do people think about that before they go slapping paint on trim? Probably not. And really, that's one of the places.
Are you kidding? That's why people paint, is they paint right over all that dirt.
Yep. Yeah, they paint right over all that. But in rental properties, something that, you know, I've taken even probably this prep for granted, and some of the ways my contractors have done things over the years, is trim, especially if you painted over that dark trim and you did that white, man, that stuff nicks up so easily. But it's probably because it wasn't prepped right.
That's a big thing. And then, as I mentioned before, the right product makes a big difference too. So there is product that's made for trim, that's made to get hit and bumped, and it's going to be a lot more durable. But there's stuff that looks like that product that isn't the same, and that's going to nick up a lot easier as well.
Well, so I want to talk about that in a minute, but let's talk about exterior prep, because of course, you guys, obviously you do interiors and exteriors, and we should mention you also do a pretty significant commercial business, but we're going to talk about residential today. Let's talk about, residential exterior prep.
Yeah, on exterior, once again, a reputable company like Five Star Painting, they're going to wash the house before they start. They might use a cleaner or just water, but they're actually going to wash your home with a pressure washer, usually in a lower setting, get all the dirt, debris, everything like that off. And then they're going to scrape off any loose paint. They're going to sand off edges to make sure that doesn't keep coming up. They're going to spot prime with an actual primer, not a paint and primer in one. And then they're going to go through and they're going to re-caulk all the seams. In our area, we have tons of wood siding. So every 4 feet, there's a seam. And then we're going to go over all the nail holes. So every single nail hole, we're going to reset it. If it needs to be reset, we're going to cover it back up with caulk. Seals everything up, kind of keeps all the critters out, helps with efficiency of your home. And then we start to paint. And then on the caulking, on exterior, we only use an elastomeric caulk. All that means is that's super stretchy. So it goes 70% bigger or smaller. That keeps it from cracking. When it cracks, that makes your paint crack as well. So the seal of that paint breaks, and it makes your paint last less time.
Yeah, why is that a super stretchy paint important in our area?
So super important because we have giant swings of temperatures and also humidity. So
in the same day.
Same day, yeah. I mean, it snowed 2 days ago after it was like 67 the day before or something like that. So that's common in our area. So that's really important. That's where a lot of places save some money, is that they'll use inexpensive caulk or inexpensive tape. And the tape is just to hold stuff. That makes a difference as well. But nice caulk is kind of expensive. So that's part of having a higher price job, but a higher quality job, is using the better prep materials.
Yep, that's super important.
So we're talking about high quality materials, and I think anybody listening understands that there's a difference between paints, but we may only understand it from when I go to my favorite big box store to buy my paint. They have, you know, three different brands, and one brand seems more expensive, and there is the stuff that has primer in it, etc. What advice can you give to somebody in terms of whether they're doing it themselves or they're working with somebody else, because they're gonna, they should be asking where you, you know, where you source your paint.
Yeah.
What? Talk to us about paint.
I would say the biggest thing that people don't realize is paint really isn't a big portion of your bill. So if you're doing it yourself, obviously that's the biggest part.
Labor is a cost.
Yes. Yeah. So a majority of your painting bill from painting company is going to be labor. So to go from a low end paint to a higher end paint, you might be looking at a total price on your bill of $200 to $500 total on a $8,000 or $9,000 bill. So that's not a huge chunk of change compared to the whole bill. But the better paint is going to usually give you better color retention. Depending if it's on the substrate, there's certain paints that are better for certain substrates. So just because it's the best paint from, let's say, Sherwin-Williams, doesn't mean it's the best paint for your particular project. So that's a big thing as well. So even though it's the best paint that's out there from that company, it's not always the best paint for your project. So that's where using a reputable company is good as well. Because as you mentioned, our climate's different. So there's some paints that work better for our climate on certain substrates. So I won't recommend the highest end paint from one company. I might recommend a step down because I know it's going to hold up better in our area.
Yeah, like for example, my home is stucco.
Yep.
So I'm assuming that there's going to be paints that are much better for stucco than other paints, yep, although I wouldn't know what they were.
Yep, absolutely. So it used to be Elastomerics, but then you didn't get as much color retention on those. So now they have a high build paints from I mean, every brand has it, Sherwin-Williams, PPG, Benjamin Moore, and those fill in all the crevices and pores and everything on your stucco a lot better, and it's also flexible. So all that's really important when you're painting a surface like stucco or brick or something like that. But yes, paint's very important. You don't have to spend a ton of money on paint either. Now, paint's not inexpensive, but it's all based on your particular project and what you want out of it. So
I know paint's gotten a lot more expensive. That's definitely, I remember when you could buy a 5-gallon bucket for what, like $20 or something like that. And there's nowhere close to being $20 anymore.
Yeah, I would say retail-wise, the average middle-of-the-road paint now from like an actual paint company, and actually even Home Depot, average gallon's about $50 a gallon now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it used to be. Paint has changed. Also, the EPA has changed, which is a whole different topic.
Either I've decided to DIY paint, which has happened sometimes much to my chagrin as I'm in the middle of the project.
Yeah, I'm not a painter.
Yeah. But also as I've watched clients and friends decide to do their own jobs, one of the things that they always sort of consider, and I suspect they're considering it for the wrong reasons, is whether I am rolling, brushing, or spraying. So really just spraying versus not spraying. Is that, what does an expert say about those two things?
Yeah, so in our area, so outside, most exterior paints are actually made to be sprayed these days. So the other side of that is because of all of our substrates in our area, in the Kansas City market, we have a lot of textured substrates. So our siding's not smooth. So in order to get in all those crevices, you have to spray and back roll. So we have somebody who's spraying and rolling so we get all the crevices, everything's where it's supposed to be at. Interior, we very rarely spray. Only time we spray is if we're doing a lot of trim indoors. So that way you get that factory finish. I do feel it's a little more durable, but you get that clean finish with it. Even with some self-leveling products for the trim indoors, you're going to get some brush marks, roller marks left over in it. If you spray, it's going to look a lot cleaner.
That was a project I took on in my last house. We had some built-ins added into an unfinished space as we were finishing it. And so that sort of brings me to my next question, because what I ended up doing was an oil-based spray, but I ended up to get that, what did you call it? Factory finish? Yeah. Is that what you called it? To get that, I ended up spraying so many times, over a long period of time, because it's got to, you know, be, at least I felt like it had to be fully dry. So I'm cleaning oil-based paint out of a sprayer like 7 days in a row. I mean, so are we doing oil-based paint still? What's going on with that?
So oil-based paint is still out there. As Jen said, the EPA has changed a lot of rules. So oil-based paint is still available in Kansas and Missouri. It has been outlawed in over half the country now.
Really?
So oil-based top coats are going away. They still allow some primers. But there's things called hybrid products now, and most of those are going to be like a urethane. Nice thing about those is actually I feel they dry just as hard, but they don't yellow. So in the whites and oil over time, they would start to yellow a little bit. So that problem's been solved. The cool thing about the hybrids is that when it's wet, you can clean it like a water-based paint. So if someone at their home is painting something themselves, they can actually get some soap and water, clean it up. But when it's dry, it almost turns into an oil. And then you have to use the stuff you would use for oil like mineral spirits, something like that, to clean up as well. So it's a lot easier to use, a lot more user-friendly, and it doesn't smell nearly as bad. So,
awesome. Well, that's good to know. I didn't even know that product existed. So we see a lot of people try to do stuff on their own.
The ceiling, when you walk into that seller's house that's been brush stroked.
Oh my goodness.
That's like a big pet peeve of mine. And I am not a painter. I will share that COVID, obviously we weren't interacting with everybody and everything. So you looked around your house or you looked around your place, the lake, and you were like, oh man, this really needs a coat of paint. And of course the big box stores were still all open. So what did I do but go get some paint? And I'm an agreeable gray girl. I still like grays too, by the way. I know there's this beige bush coming back, but I just feel like gray's the way.
Johnson County beige is coming back.
It's coming back.
Have you seen it too?
Yeah, it's coming back. Oh. Come back strong.
Oh boy. Anyway, I digress. But I got my gray paint and my table, and I did all the good prep work on my table. I'll tell you that. So good for me doing the prep work on the table. But in my bathroom down there, I did not. And I did buy painter's tape. But let me tell you, there's an art to applying the painter's tape as well. And just like I was so gung ho to do this, I get one wall of a small bathroom done, and I'm like, why did I do this? I hate painting. I hate it with a passion. Like it is. I start, and then once you start, though, you're committed.
Yes.
So I was committed to one room. And let me just tell you that I bought enough paint to do both of the bathrooms in the other bathroom. How far out are we? 4 years?
Still not done.
Still not done.
Well,
Tim, you want to come down to the lake?
Sometimes we do, yeah.
Certainly have spent enough time going through homes that have had DIY paint jobs done that, to be honest, didn't improve the value of the home. It detracted from the value of the home.
Yeah.
And that's a really important thing to understand, which is if you're not going to do a high quality job, then you can actually lower the cost of your home by putting paint on improperly. I've been in homes where wood grain trim has been painted over white with zero sanding and brushes, and you can see through the brush stroke lines the wood coming through, et cetera, et cetera. And that was worse than whatever they covered.
Absolutely.
And so.
Well, and not only that, then the prep work to come back behind that is probably greater than it would have been originally.
Yeah, it's a lot more expensive for any company to fix something that was done improperly than it is to do it right the first time.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people are smart enough to go, this isn't really for me, but I want to get it done. But everybody is always looking to save cost. And companies who do high quality work with high quality products will be some frequently, if not always, more expensive than some sort of like a handy person kind of thing.
I would say, yeah, typically, yes. And most handymen don't like to do more than maybe a bedroom or two at the most. Because they know that that's the level of their skill and that's their level of patience. And you mentioned people painting their trim whenever they're looking to sell. That's one thing a reputable company will probably tell you not to do. So like, hey, you're not going to get your money back for painting all your trim if you're trying to sell. You might break even, maybe, but you're not going to make money on it. So how about we pick a color for your walls that's going to make your trim look better, and maybe we can just freshen up your trim with a new sealer or maybe just a treatment and make that look nicer instead of you spending 50% more to paint all your trim.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective, and one that's probably good to note for buyers and sellers or people that just live in homes, because I think people do, like, they have that desire to have your ivory or your white or I don't even know what the name of that color is that is coming to trim, but people like to
Snowblind is the one I used.
It's okay, painting trim, in theory, I guess, when people look at it, they might think that that's not going to be a monumental task.
It was monumental.
But trim is like way harder than any wall or, you know, screwing in a screw or anything else that you've ever thought about doing ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Trim done right.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Well, even I think even for the layperson that thinks, oh, I'm just going to, by the way, there's a painting profession and a painter's union and all that stuff for a reason. But the layperson that thinks, oh, I'm just going to slap some paint on this and they get started on it, they quickly realize, oh, shoot. You know, just like my painting in general, and I know it before I start, but you realize, oh, shoot, I've got myself into something. Because just like Eric said, how many times he had to go over it, so you don't see a brush stroke or whatever, or spray or whatever. Oh, yeah. It is super complicated on trim to get that right.
Yes, it is. It is. And there's tons of extra prep on top of that to make sure you don't get paint where it's not supposed to. But yeah, I mean, in terms of for your world, for the buyers and sellers, it's going to add on 40 to 60% more than it would to just paint your walls. And then Jen brought up agreeable gray. Agreeable gray has the word agreeable in it for a reason. It literally goes with everything. So, I mean, for people who are selling, like, pick a neutral color. So when you are selling, like, just remember it's not for you. It's for somebody else who's coming in. So
had to have that discussion many a time. Yeah. Right. You know, I mean, you do what you want to do, but we certainly will suggest that you try to look at it from a broader perspective than your own personal tastes.
Yep.
We mentioned the handy person who might be hired, right? So when we talk about, you know, hey, if this is not a skill you have, and I love the fact that you mentioned patience, because I suspect that's my largest problem when it comes to painting is the patience of just the level of time and effort for the detailed work, probably more in prep than anything that I struggle with. And so they decide they're going to hire it out, but now they're looking at costs and they've got a handy person saying, hey, you know, I can do this project for you know, X dollars, and that seems a lot less than maybe a high quality professional company. What are some of the things that we should be looking for when we hire somebody to come in and paint? And this might help us differentiate the handyman or person, if you will, versus a reputable painting company.
Yeah, the basic things is some sort of written warranty. That's big with, I would say, anybody you have in your home doing work. Just make sure that they're going to stand behind the work. Make sure they're insured. If it's a trade that requires licensing, painting in Missouri and Kansas does not. But if it's a trade that requires licensing, make sure they are licensed. Those are probably the first three. And you'll see that there's a lot of people out there who don't meet a lot of those criteria.
So let's go to warranty. What kind of... what kind of things are covered and for how long in what you would consider a quality warranty in the painting industry?
Yeah, so in the painting industry, we focus on the labor warranty. So most reputable paint companies are going to use products that have their own limited lifetime warranty. That's going to cover bubbling, peeling, things like that before it's supposed to. What our labor warranties typically cover is those same things because 99% of the time, whenever that happens, it's due to bad prep. And then, so our company, Five Star Painting, we offer a 2-year labor warranty. The reason why we do that and not longer is because honestly, if you have an issue, you're going to see it usually within 6 months in our area. We have multiple season changes by that point, multiple temperature swings, and any bad prep pops up right away. Obviously, I would love to say in a perfect world, we've never gone back for anybody. But no, I mean, we have somebody on our staff dedicated to take care of warranty stuff because it is going to happen. There are freak things where weather, things like that pop up, or just the wind blows something in and we miss it.
I actually just had a really interesting one on a build job. It was on a floor and it was the stain. And I had never thought about this before in regards to the wood that we have in this area versus the wood samples that are used to mm-hmm. display those. Okay. Yep. Well, and to be fair, I don't do a lot of hardwoods in my rental stuff. So I haven't dealt with a ton of hardwoods. And a lot of builders have gotten away from hardwoods anyway. So I hadn't dealt with it in quite a while. But what happened was the buyer wanted a gray stain. And when they applied this product, it looked gray. And when it soaked into the wood, it was not gray.
Yep. So stains will usually cost you a little more because exactly what Jen just said, it is, you don't know how the wood always takes it. Even if it's the same, even if it is cedar, just like the sample, it might not be the same kind of cedar. The veins might be different. And as it dries, it changes color. We did a door. It looked fantastic. Once it dried, it was about 10 shades too light. Oh,
it's crazy. So, and that's unfortunate because in this case, this was a, 3,000 square foot house. So the floor that we just did, the hardwood,
yeah,
that was a lot of surface area. And we ended up having to pick a whole different color to achieve what the original wet sample looked like.
Yep.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm glad you mentioned samples. That's something we also recommend for everything, especially stains. So if you can get an extra piece of whatever wood you want stained, whatever product you're planning on, put it on there, let it dry. Same thing with paints.
Look at it in lots of light.
Absolutely. All the lighting changes colors.
Oh, yeah, that's a huge thing.
Our company actually offers a free color consultation if you end up doing business with us, with an actual color consultant. She comes to your home, spends about an hour with you, but that's something she focuses on. So she makes sure that the color you choose looks exactly like it is in your space. Because the type of lighting you have, soft light, cool light, warm light, changes the colors you have around it. It's going to reflect and change the color. All that affects everything.
Oh, and the amount of light and the time of day and the amount of clouds and all of that changes. So we have a gray in this house as well, and it's so amazing depending on, where the sun is, the light coming through the windows or what lights we have turned on, the tone of that gray changes immediately.
Absolutely, yeah, and grays are fun because of that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool, but if, because I don't care so much.
And then if you don't want to go and buy a little sample paint and put on your wall, there's a company out there called Sample Eyes. I think there's a link on a lot of apps now and stuff for the color part and paint, but you can order these stick and peel. It's a satin, just like it's actually made with the paint, and it's fantastic.
Hey, it's like my nails.
Yep. So yep, you can put it on there, test colors. It out.
And you should get fantastic. Someone try them on your nails.
Right? Yeah. There you go. I don't know that I want wall paint colored nails, but it's peel and stick nail paint.
All right,
that's awesome. What was it called again?
I believe it's called Sample Eyes.
Sample Eyes. Yep. All right. Yeah.
So you mentioned warranty. And we've talked a little bit about that. Let's talk about insurance. And everybody hates insurance, right? But it's a necessary evil at times. I think we run into this with a lot of trades. Is that once you start dealing with an honest to goodness company that has to insure themselves and their people in your home, because that's what we expect. Prices tend to go up because insurance isn't cheap. But how important do you feel that is? What are some of it like? Do you have a great, I'm putting you on the spot. Do you have a great anecdote that obviously wasn't your company, but some other company or something you've heard of, and why you really want to insure everyone coming in your home? I mean, I can think of one, but I'll let you go. And then,
so with you guys being in the real estate world, you know that if it happens on your property, you can be held liable for it. So that's where your company having insurance comes into play. I mean, I've heard of people falling off roofs. I mean, we actually had a crew member. He didn't fall very far. He just landed on the wrong thing. He almost died on the scene. If we didn't have workman's comp insurance, that would have fell on the homeowner. And that's a giant expense. And obviously something nobody wants to deal with. We're glad everybody's okay. But that's why you want to make sure that you have insurance, the company you hire has the proper insurance. So besides just general liability, that they also have an umbrella policy, preferably also in Missouri and Kansas, they have to have workman's comp. And then if they use a subcontracting model, their crews also have to have their own insurance as well. It does fall ultimately onto the person who hires them. So for instance, if I use a sub, and they don't have their insurance, it does default to me. But it's just another layer of coverage. So most companies that use subs, their subs are also insured separately.
So, just to kind of, put a pin in it, right? Painting almost always includes ladder work.
Mm-hmm.
And
even if it's that short distance you talked about inside of the house.
Yeah. Absolutely. Even if it's just a little, 2 foot, 3 foot step ladder or a 6 foot step ladder. And if somebody falls off a ladder and they're not insured, then you're dealing with it with your homeowner's insurance.
Exactly.
And it's going to be a mess. And so making sure that somebody is properly insured when they're doing any work on your house is certainly eliminating your own risk. And yes, that might cost a little bit more money than hiring, you know, somebody down the street who paints houses on the side, but it certainly protects you a lot better.
Absolutely.
Well, and I was listening to Who Not How. So I've gotten huge into like the Dan Sullivan books, which is like your 10X and different books like that. So Who Not How had a great story in it about literally the who that was this multi-million dollar guy who ended up doing a job that involved a ladder and getting on a roof and ends up falling off. And like crawling his way to the front door and knocking on the door. They rush him to the emergency room. He's in a coma for like 2 weeks. All this over a job that probably would have cost him about $5,000 total. But he was trying to save a few hundred bucks over a quote that he got. Again, multi-million dollar guy doing a job similar to what we're talking about today. And didn't hire the professional, didn't hire the who that he needed, and almost ended up ending his life over it. So I think painting's one of those things that you can really be like, there's a lot going on when you're painting. Your kids could be screaming, whatever. And if you're not the focused professional in that realm, when you're up on that ladder, man, things just happen on ladders. I've fallen off a ladder. My dad's fallen off a ladder. And I'm going to tell you that I'm a fairly careful person on it, but just like you said, one of your professionals, you know, it's unfortunate that that could happen. But you just don't really want to take those chances, especially in the insurance and even in the professional side of it. Like we've talked about, it's just crazy. And you said you had a story too, Eric.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, so it turns out it was roofing and not painting, but,
ladders involved though.
Yeah. Well, we had we built an exterior garage in a previous home and, hired is actually a friend who ran kind of off the formal crew, and not on our job, but the job right after it, one of the guys fell off and broke his back. And I shudder to think about how that was dealt with. I should point out that it sounds like we're telling everybody they can't paint their own homes. And that's not at all what we're saying.
We're just saying there's a lot more than you might think and consider all the things.
Yeah, you just need to go into these things eyes wide open. I suspect there's a lot of our listeners who have painted their own rooms, painted their own, and they've done great jobs, and they think it's awesome. And I'm sure it is for a lot of
I said I've painted my own stuff. I have.
Absolutely, and so have I. And in certain circumstances where, like, if I'm just, we did it ourselves, right? Our bathroom, right? But it was just one small room and, you know, it didn't require a ton of prep and it wasn't in a bad condition.
But I think you heard Eric say he would not redo his trim.
Yeah, no, I would never, I wouldn't do trim again, not at all. And so we just want you to be, if you don't have experience with this, and
especially
you don't,
our younger listeners, because I think when I was younger, I was a lot more ambitious to paint than I am today.
And if you don't know all the things that are going into it, then we want you to go into it eyes wide open, right? And make really high quality decisions when it comes to improving your home, whether it be to live in or whether to prep it for sale.
So we're all about education.
Yeah. Let's talk cost, right? If you don't mind, and I get whenever we have somebody on who is sort of an expert in their service area, we get, and so we should tell everybody that cost is going to vary immensely. I would assume that some of the factors, obviously the size of the home, right? The amount of prep involved,
the color,
the color and whether or not you're covering over a different color that needs, you mentioned substrate, which just really means the surface that we're putting stuff on, in case that word, befuddled you. What are some of the, factors that, and you mentioned trim itself is a big cost, but when we start looking at average homes,
your three bedroom, two bath, two car garage, between 1500 and 2000 square feet, although I get that 500 square feet may be a different price tag, but you know, your average, median home,
the average exterior in the Kansas City metro is about $6,500 to paint. So that's average. That's including everything Jen said. That's including
less than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. So that's, you know, doing the same color scheme, same color. Jen made a good point. If you're going from like a, you know, dark brown and you want to go, what's really popular is the white with the black trim right now. If you want to go to that, we're going to have to prime that house first. So that's going to drive
multiple
the cost
coats.
Up. So yeah, we'll actually use a primer and then we'll put two coats of the new color on. And then average interiors are around $4,500 for just what people usually get done. Now, if you're talking about the whole house top to bottom, the average interior of top to bottom, wall, ceiling, trim, doors, the whole thing, you're probably looking at about $18,000. I mean, that's a pretty good average from top to bottom. There's tons of work that goes into it, especially if you're still living in it.
Yeah.
Because we also have to move, cover everything. So that's part of the cost.
Yeah.
As well.
So that's actually a great point. What would be, you know, approximate difference between what we just said, which is, hey, I'm painting the whole thing, I'm completely redoing this house, and it's going to look night and day difference, versus I haven't moved into the house yet, we don't have to cover all my furniture, there's a little less prep work involved. What's that? Because that's probably really a relevant thing to point out.
It definitely is. So usually, if the house is empty, you'll probably save 15% to 25%. Just because we're not having to cover everything, move everything, protect everything. And then we're also not maneuvering around you in your daily life.
Yeah.
So that's one thing is I tell people that we're one of the largest residential home repainting companies, and that's what we specialize in. Mm-hmm. So we're used to working with you in your home.
Yep.
So we'll come in and we'll work on the top half of your house, finish up. Then we'll do the bottom of your half of your house. But we try to make it as pain-free as possible for you so we don't disrupt your day-to-day activity. That's the other benefit of having a company come in is we're done. So let's say it's a house top to bottom. It might take us a total of 13 days. But that's, you know, everything top to bottom. Where it might take you whenever, you know, you have time in the evenings and the weekends. It might take you two and a half months.
A year?
I mean,
the entire house with good prep?
A couple months, yeah. So, I mean,
I would love to see somebody that's living in their house do it top to bottom in 2 months.
Jen's still working on like four years for a second bathroom. So.
Yeah, right.
So, our average jobs inside or out, job time is 3.5 days.
Yeah,
so for most of our projects, we're done properly, efficiently in 3.5 days.
And if you've ever lived with painting or remodeling, you wholeheartedly could appreciate only a 3-day project.
Yeah, so that's probably one of the biggest benefits of hiring a professional company. It's valuing your time and getting back to your normal life. So.
Yep, that's great, Tim.
All right, excellent. Well, we're coming to the end of our time, so I've got the question that we ask every guest, which is, you know, related to your industry and, of course, residential homes. What's the craziest thing you've seen?
Oh, I think whenever we talked last time, there's a few things. One of the grossest things, which I know you guys have seen, it's just animal feces, just every square inch of a basement. And then not cleaned up before we show up. And then the various adult themed toys that we find whenever we are cleaning homes out. So
that was a conversation yesterday on our way to Jeff City, was the weird, probably sex swings is what it was, that had been installed or removed or whatever, and where you could see the various things that weren't repaired properly in houses. Yeah, that was crazy. So
hang on. So unfortunately, we've seen it where people allow their pets to use the interior of their homes as bathrooms, but they don't clean that up and they ask you to go paint those rooms.
Exactly.
And then what's the way they say it for the companies that sell those things?
Erotic.
But they don't call them toys. They call them
marital aids.
Marital aids. Yeah. There you go. That's what I was looking for.
Oh, okay. I've never heard it called this before.
So we don't properly
put our marital aids away.
That would be funny.
Yeah. So. Keep in mind, every company is going to document everything before they start, so we don't get blamed for stuff, or you know, we
you
can show
steal
stuff.
Steal their marital aid.
So FYI, if it's out, there's going to be a picture of it somewhere.
That's
so.
Right. Found these padded handcuffs and whatever. Yeah.
What's that swing for?
Yeah.
Take that thing
exactly.
down. We don't want to put the plastic around that.
All right. So Tim, hopefully, somebody who is thinking about either just for their own enjoyment or maybe prepping to get their house ready to go, they've been looking for a great company to assist them in that painting. And so they've heard this and they're like, I need to call Tim at Five Star Painting. How do they get hold of you?
Yeah. So you can go to fivestarpainting.com and book a free estimate there. Or you can call our scheduling center at 816-521-6444.
Excellent. So there you have it. five-star painting. Obviously, somebody that Jen and I feel like can do a tremendous job for you. I'm sure there's a couple of others out there as well. But if you don't have one already in your pocket, give Tim and Five Star a call. Hopefully, you found this podcast to be educational and informative, because that's always our goal. I appreciate you being here, Tim. I really do. Thank you so much for coming a second time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, everybody, another great episode of Get Real KC. Until next time.
You have been listening to Get Real KC with Eric Jurgensen and Jen Justice. For more information or to contact our hosts, visit us at dreamhomesbyjen.com, where you can find more episodes exploring real estate as it matters to you.